in me. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly.
is time for unity, for we are the power and the authority. It is time for each and every one of us to claim that power and the authority, to stand side by side by each sister and brother worldwide. Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk, Paradise, and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free USA, 877-270-8714, Canada, 888-861-3519. Our direct lines are same area code, 530-876-3223 and 413-4515. I personally want to thank each of my admins, and they are Lovick, I Am, By Candlelight, and Tanika. Thank you, and I send you much love and aloha and support to each and every one of you. It is always a true honor for me to connect with each of you every Tuesday night, and I am really excited about this next show and our guest. Now, our guest for this evening is indeed Dr. Michael E. Sala. And what is so wonderful about this man, now, oops, let me back up here for just one moment. I'm going to ask and invite each and every one of you to go get a notebook pad and something to write with, because what you indeed are going to receive this evening is some very informative, powerful information that we all each need to know about. And as the show unfolds this evening, you will totally and completely understand. Now, before I read you our guest bio this evening, what we are going to be talking about this evening is about Dick Cheney and the Vigilant Shield. Will a missing nuke be used in a simulated terrorist attack? Without further delay, let me share some wonderful background information with each of our listeners this evening. Now, Dr. Michael Sala is indeed a pioneer in the development of exopolitics, the solarly study of the main actors, institutions, and processes associated with an extraterrestrial presence that is not acknowledged to the general public, elected officials, or the mass media. Dr. Sala's interest in exopolitics evolved out of his investigation of the sources of international conflict and its relationship with the undisclosed extraterrestrial presence. He cites evidence of as many as 16 different extraterrestrial races currently interacting with humanity in a variety of ways with a number of other races simply monitoring the Earth. His groundbreaking exopolitics, political implications of the extraterrestrial presence, Daphne Books, 2004, presents the first scholar framework for understanding the political implications of the extraterrestrial presence. Dr. Sala is an international recognized scholar in international politics, conflict resolution, and U.S. foreign policy, and is the author and editor of an additional 4 books, including The Hero's Journey Toward a Second American Century, Greenwood Press, 2002, Essays on Peace, Central Queensland University Press, 1995, Why the Cold War Ended, Greenwood Press, 1995, and Islamic Catechism, Muslim Nations, and the West, 1993. He has also authored more than 70 articles, chapters, and book reviews on peace, ethnic conflict, and conflict resolution. He has held academic appointments in the School of International Service and the Center for Global Peace, American University, Washington, D.C., from 1996 to 2004. The Department of Political Science, Australia National University, the Elliott School of International Affairs, George Washington University, Washington, D.C., 2002. Wow. Without further delay, let's all please give Dr. Sala a warm welcome to this show.
Aloha, Leilani. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to be able to share with you and your audience some of the research I've been doing on some of those issues that you just talked about, and especially what's happening now in Portland, Oregon, Guam, and in Arizona.
Yes, and, you know, I thought about this earlier today, Dr. Sala, and I thought, what a perfect time to have you here on the show with me this evening. And it's really interesting because I do indeed live in Phoenix, Arizona. And the first test bomb went off today in Arizona at 11 o'clock a.m. in Chandler, Arizona, in the location of Arizona Avenue. And then from that initial test bomb going off, they moved over to the site of the Tempe area, which is probably about a 15-minute radius between the two areas.
Well, they have detonated devices that would simulate attacks using radiological weapons in also Portland today and in Guam. So they have moved ahead with the testing of these devices and beginning to test the responses of the different federal agencies and departments that are involved in the top-off four exercises and in Vigilant Shield as well.
Well, that brings to mind because, you know, I just shared with all our listeners this evening that, you know, we were going to be discussing, you know, this simulated terrorist attack. And this indeed is being overseen by Dick Cheney. Could you give us more information when you say that, you know, he's overseeing this project? What is it exactly is he doing?
Well, back in May of 2001, and that was 4 months before 9/11, President Bush issued a statement where he put Dick Cheney in charge of all efforts to coordinate government agencies and departments concerning terrorist attacks. And he was put in charge of that. And it's very important to understand that this was a presidential statement back in 2001, where Dick Cheney was given the power to basically decide how different government agencies and federal departments would coordinate amongst themselves. And he was the person that would make the final decision on many key elements concerning any responses to possible terrorist attacks and preparation for these attacks. So he was given an enormous amount of power at that time. And that's something that hasn't been fully acknowledged because this is something that has been kind of operating behind the scenes. And why it's important to understand that is that 4 months later, on September 11, 2001, when there was the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centers and also the Pentagon, most people probably aren't aware of the fact that that very day, 9/11, was actually when there were a number of terrorist simulations that were going forward, and again, Dick Cheney was the person in charge of these. This was something that was not well acknowledged. It was not something that was covered by the 9/11 Commission, and it was only something that was revealed later on by the pioneering efforts of a few activists such as Michael Rupert from the Wilderness website and his book Crossing the Rubicon, where he exposed the information that he was able to gather showing that these terrorist simulations were actually occurring on the same day of 9/11. And the important thing here was that that these simulated attacks involved hijacked airplanes hitting buildings in New York and elsewhere in the country. So the whole idea that was put out in those early days of 9/11, when you had Condoleezza Rice and other government officials coming forward saying that they didn't have a clue that there would be any possibility that terrorists would use airplanes in hijackings and target the World Trade Centers and other buildings, that the government officials didn't have a clue of this, was actually a palpable lie, because on that very day, simulated exercises were being conducted involving live-fly exercises with hijacked airplanes, and it was called the terrorist... The attack was called Vigilant Guardian, or that was the simulated exercises. So you had on 9/11 a set of exercises that replicated a terrorist attack using hijacked planes on buildings in New York, the World Trade Center, and elsewhere in the country. And so this is a very important thing to consider when we now come to the present moment and try to understand, well, what is the significance of Vigilance Shield Top of Four with regard to Dick Cheney being in charge of these terrorist simulated exercises, because we need to factor in that there was an important development at the end of August involving a B-52 bomber that I'd like to be able to walk you through and the audience in terms of its relationship here.
If I may, Dr. Saul, if you'd hold your thought for just a moment. So basically what I'm hearing is that Dick Cheney was actually, at the time of 9/11, was actually in charge of these operations for possible terrorist attacks using airplanes.
That's correct. He was the person in charge. The data has come forward to confirm that. It is not something that is being taken up by the mainstream news media, but nevertheless, there is a lot of data that has come forward to confirm that Dick Cheney was in charge, as because the terrorist simulations have been confirmed. So these were not exercises that are hypothetical. They have been confirmed. They did exist. They did occur on 9/11. They did involve hijacked airplanes crashing into buildings in simulated terrorist attacks. And as the May presidential statement of 2001 confirms, Dick Cheney was in charge of all coordination between government agencies and departments to respond to terrorist attacks. And so that involved not just the various government agencies such as the FBI, the other government agencies, the Department of Treasury, the intelligence agencies, but also the military departments such as the Air Force, that all of these government agencies and federal departments were all being coordinated by Dick Cheney. He was in charge on 9/11 of all of this, and this is not something that has been publicly disclosed, and certainly the 9/11 Commission barely discussed that. Only in footnotes did they mention these terrorist training simulations on 9/11.
And so, and we will. I definitely want to get into the 52 bomber. But what's really interesting here is that, you know, with a man as Dick Cheney overseeing a project as such at this magnitude, you know, it's obvious that he would indeed have the CIA, the FBI, probably the secret government, you know, all these different agencies along with Home Security. And it's interesting because if I sit and recap back on this particular event as 9/11 unfolded, you know, it's really interesting because you and I both know that when this unfolded in front of the world, it was like no one seemed to know anything. And it brings another thought to mind as well. You know, because I've asked myself this question many, many times. If the FBI, the CIA, and all these other high-profiled systems that have been in place for many, many years, and they're not knowing what each other are doing, nor of what's currently going on around the world, I find that to be a bunch of baloney, personally. I'll just say it, Dr. Sala, because you know, I mean, if we start drawing, you know, it's like having a dot, and you draw from one dot to the next, it becomes so apparent that each other, in some level, are actually communicating and are working together, pardon me, behind the scenes with each other. Wouldn't you think, Dr. Sala?
Well, there definitely is a lot of coordination happening behind the scenes with all of these federal agencies and military departments. What is happening is that they all are doing various tasks that have been assigned to them, whether it's defense, whether it's intelligence monitoring, whether it's kind of intercepting kind of shipments of possible terrorist equipment and anything that may pertain in any way to the kind of war on terrorism effort, that is all being coordinated at a very high level by various key players. But each of the different agencies themselves may not know what the other agencies or what the other departments are doing. So there's a lot of duplication, and they are trying to work out who's doing what. But one thing is clear, and that is that the person that is ultimately responsible for coordinating a lot of these governmental agencies in terms of responding to global terrorism is Dick Cheney and the Department of Homeland Security, and that Dick Cheney himself has been tasked by President Bush himself to oversee and coordinate the national response to terrorism and weapons of mass destruction. So he is the person that ultimately has oversight in a lot of these efforts. So he's the one that knows the most about what is going on, and he is the one that ultimately is most responsible or should be held to account if the system breaks down, as occurred on 9/11. But of course, he wasn't held responsible on 9/11. In fact, he was given more power, more authority with the Patriot Act and the kind of erosion of civil liberties and the emergence of the war on terror. So that the person who really should have been made to account for what happened on 9/11 was given more power, more authority because of 9/11. And that is really the travesty here, and something that just hasn't been focused on with enough attention by the mass media and the general public.
Yes. And so it's so important to get this out to the general public. Now, it's interesting because you had wanted to share with us also about the B-52. Please shed some light on that for all of us this evening.
Well, the B-52 bomber incident was very important, because what happened was that a nuclear-armed B-52 with six advanced cruise missiles left Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota and traveled down to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, and approximately 10 hours after it was discovered, 10 hours later, it was discovered that it actually carried nuclear weapons. And this was the first time in 40 years that a nuclear-armed airplane had flown over the U.S., in 1967-68, all flights of nuclear-armed aircraft were suspended because there had been a number of accidents involving B-52s. Mm-hmm. And so they were grounded, and these were kept in a state of readiness on the ground where the B-52 was was kept with engines running or in a state of readiness. So over a 40-year period, there weren't any examples of a B-52 or any plane flying in the continental U.S. Armed with nuclear weapons. And so what you had with that incident on August 30 was a nuclear-armed B-52 flying over the U.S. And this was unprecedented. There had been a monumental breakdown in the command and control of nuclear weapons. And what was more fascinating was that the B-52 landed at Barksdale Air Force Base and 10 hours later was discovered. And what was discovered in the initial reports were that there were 5 advanced cruise missiles discovered on this B-52. So 6 had left Minot and then the B-52 had landed at Barksdale, and then 10 hours later, 5 advanced cruise missiles had been discovered. And what was important here was that Barksdale is a staging post for the Middle East. It's actually used for B-52s and other airplanes performing missions in the Middle East. And what is significant is that on September 6th, Israel launched a preemptive strike against Syria on an undisclosed facility. And what that suggested was that there was going to be a coordinated set of covert missions involving Israel and the U.S. where presumably this B-52 with 5 advanced cruise missiles that were nuclear missiles, that they were going to be used in this covert attack. So what that suggested was that there was a covert mission that was going to be something that was going to be used to spark a nuclear conflict in the Middle East. So that in itself was very important because the Department of Defense has been opposed for well over a year to nuclear weapons being used in the Iranian theater or being used against Iran. So it appears that that covert mission was exposed because of the Air Force coming forward saying that this B-52 had been discovered at Barksdale. The B-52 apparently was subject to stand-down orders. In other words, Air Force officials refused to fly the B-52 to its mission. And so that was exposed in a story in the Military Times on September 5. But what was interesting was that there was still a missing nuclear-armed missile. And where did that advanced cruise missile go? No one knows. The Air Force did an inventory on September 14 to try and find out where that nuclear missile went. It's missing. And so then we make the connection between what happened with that B-52 and the top-off and the vigilant shield exercises that are occurring now in Portland, that they're is very likely a connection here because the top-off 4 exercises involve a simulated nuclear strike against a number of American cities and territories. And so what we needed to be alert to was the possibility that the same person who was responsible for that B-52 being loaded up with nuclear weapons and then one of those going missing was also the same person responsible for top-off 4, and that person is Dick Cheney.
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, as I had shared with you earlier in this broadcast, as you know, I was hoping to receive an update on the bombing drills that took place here in Arizona. And as I was, you know, listening to the news, you know, it was actually reporting how Russia and Iran were on the negotiating tables today, and they were having, you know, a back-and-forth discussion, and it was all about nuclear war between the two countries. And it would, and you know, it just quickly flashed past me. I'm going, oh, I wonder if that's where our nuclear bomb disappeared to.
Well, Leilani, there's a lot of opposition to the U.S. Being involved in any kind of attack against Iran, whether it's a conventional attack or a nuclear attack to take out Iran's facilities. The ones that are leading that opposition are within the U.S. military itself, which, interestingly enough, I think the U.S. military is playing a very constructive role here in trying to prevent the U.S. going into another war, which would be a disaster in all respects, not only for the U.S.'s reputation, for the national security of the U.S. and of its citizenry, but also for the troops that are currently in Iraq and in Afghanistan, that this an attack against Iran would be a disaster for that. And so the military predictably are opposed to that. And I think that they are playing a very important role in ensuring that no covert missions involving nuclear weapons or any kind of weaponry is used against Iran to kind of essentially precipitate a war against Iran. And so I think they are missing weapons, nuclear weapons. This the one weapon from Minot Air Force Base that wasn't recovered at Barksdale. I think that that is very likely being used in a covert mission of some form, and that's why I was very concerned that the Top of Four exercise would be a cover, because, I mean, the thing that the audience needs to appreciate is that Dick Cheney was overruled when it came to moving forward with a covert operation using nuclear weapons against Iran. He was overruled by the military, and the military have the power to overrule him because they nevertheless are still in control of the Air Force bombers that would have been used in these covert operations, and the Air Force in particular basically gave a stand down orders. I mean, they did not follow through with illegal orders. I mean, any U.S. Any military official does not have to follow illegal orders, and so they decided that any order using nuclear weapons in a covert attack against Iran was an illegal order, and so they stood down, so the Air Force stood down. Now, in this scenario that we are facing with Top of Four and Vigilance Shield, no one knows what is real and what is false. What is clear, though, is that Dick Cheney is the person ultimately in charge. Even though Michael Chertoff went to Portland to oversee the events, Dick Cheney is the person in charge. He is the one that makes the decisions. And if he orders for a simulated attack to go forward, anyone, whether it's any of the agencies involved or if it's any of the military departments involved in Vigilant Shield, if they are charged to do a bombing run or detonate a device that they believe is not real or a dummy, it may nevertheless carry a nuclear charge. And this is where there is a great danger that because Dick Cheney is the person who was ultimately responsible for the B-52 incident, that he may have been involved in some covert operation to replace a dummy warhead or a dummy nuclear device with the real thing, and he has the power with Top of Four and Vigilant Shield to order those devices to be used against an American city, and then if the real thing happened, if a real nuclear device was detonated, then I think we would have all in place for a declaration of a catastrophic emergency, which is what was declared in a presidential decision, a national security decision directive in May of this year.
I've got it, Dr. Sala, the concern and the urgency of really understanding exactly what's going on. For all those listeners that are just now tuning in, our wonderful guest this evening is Dr. Sala. Our topic for this evening is Dick Cheney and the Vigilant Shield. Will a missing nuke from the B-52 incident be used in a simulated terrorist attack? I'd like to invite all our listeners this evening to Dr. Sala's website. He has a wealth of information. It's extremely informative. And what is really refreshing for me this evening is that Dr. Sala has really done his research. He is breaking down the misperceptions or the illusions of truth or untruth and really zeroing in on what's really happening around the world. And so let me, without further delay, share this wonderful website with all of you this evening, and that is Expolitics. Excuse me, let me just spell it for all of you. It is E as in echo, X as in x-ray, O, P as in Paul, O-L-I, T as in Tom, I, C as in Charlie, S as in Sam, .org. And for all the listeners in Pal Talk, I do have Dr. Sala's website posted there. And for all those in Paradise, I invite each of you to scroll down and you'll see an actual picture of Dr. Sala. I've got a wealth of information about the show and also all of his websites listed as well. It's extremely informative and it gives you real time of events that are actually happening and has happened here within the U.S. and our international countries as well. You know, it's really interesting, Dr. Sala. I'm really grateful that you are sharing this knowledge with all of us this evening. And so let's talk about these bomb tests that went off in Arizona and also in Oregon, because I do know that Dick Cheney was in Oregon today, overseeing the test bombing going on there, and then also in Guam. So what does this really mean for all of us here within the United States and our sisters and brothers internationally?
Well, the testing that occurred today was the detonation of radiological dispersal devices, which are basically, they're called dirty bombs, and it's a conventional explosive that has some radioactive device or radioactive material added to it, so that even though the explosion itself is not a nuclear explosion, it disperses radiation over a wide area, and of course that would cause a lot of panic. It would cause radiation to be absorbed by the vicinity of the environment, and people might be radioactively exposed, and it would cause a lot of chaos. But this is something that there has been a lot of kind of preparation done on the part of various security agencies who perceive that this is the kind of device that could be used as a low-tech way of causing mass disruption by terrorists, who typically tend to go for kind of low-tech ways of being able to disrupt society and cause pandemonium. And so that is what the tests involve today in Portland and in Phoenix and, of course, in Guam. And so there are a number of agencies, local, state, and federal agencies collaborating in terms of how they would coordinate in responding to these devices. So Top-Off 4, which is the name of the exercise involving the radiological dispersal devices, this is the fourth in a set of exercises that have been conducted since the year 2000. So this predated the September 11 attacks. But what makes this set of exercises different is that the person in charge of these tests or these simulated attacks is the same person who is in charge of simulated attacks that happened on the morning of 9/11. So you have someone who has a track record of basically overseeing one set of terrorist attacks while the real thing happens on his watch. So this is the last person you would want to be in charge of Top-Off 4, but yet Dick Cheney has somehow been able to go through 6 years of being able to evade responsibility for what happened on the morning of 9/11, and now he is in charge of these terrorist attacks at the very time when he is responsible or for a B-52 incident that tried to override the regular chain of military command. So, in other words, you know, he is a very dangerous person, and he is someone that needs to be relieved of these duties given to him by President Bush back in May of 2001 and reaffirmed in subsequent presidential decision directives that give the office of the vice president a prominent role in the overseeing of all sorts of continuity of government projects and in the kind of declaration of catastrophic emergencies, that you want Dick Cheney to be removed from all of these responsibilities and ultimately held accountable. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Nancy Pelosi is going to go ahead with impeachment proceedings, but nevertheless, he should be held accountable in some way, and at the very least relieved of those duties which give him incredible amount of power.
Yes. If you would hold your thought for just a moment, we have a question from one of the listeners. Pardon me, this is from Nika, and she says, to what advantage would Dick Cheney have to set off a bomb in a U.S. city?
Well, what would happen then would be that a state of catastrophic emergency could be declared, and what that basically does is it kind of gives martial law power to the Department of Homeland Security, because they are the ones that the Department of Homeland Security declares that a state of catastrophic emergency exists, and it's only when constitutional government is restored that that state of catastrophic emergency is basically wound down. But in the meantime, you would have martial law. All state, local, federal agencies would basically answer to one authority, which would be the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Homeland Security answers to Dick Cheney and President Bush, and Dick Cheney is the person who is ultimately responsible for coordinating all governmental efforts to respond to terrorist attacks. So Dick Cheney would, in essence, become a de facto dictator. Even though President Bush would still be president, he would be de jure president in terms of the Constitution, but in fact, you would have a de facto dictator, which would be Dick Cheney. So this is why he would benefit enormously by a declaration of catastrophic emergency through the detonation of any kind of weapon of mass destruction on U.S. territory. And so this is why we need to be very alert to the fact that this is something that Dick Cheney would be very eager to create, and something that would benefit him enormously, because if a martial law was declared, there may not be elections in 2008. President Bush may not be voted out of power. Dick Cheney may not be voted out of power. In other words, you have the conditions being created for a perpetual state of dictatorship in the United States, and that would all occur under the watch of Dick Cheney.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting, Dr. Sala, because I have heard that there may not be a 2008 election. And so let me ask you this, because if martial law was indeed declared here in the United States, I mean, you know, I ask all my listeners tonight to really just take a moment and really think of the magnitude if martial law was indeed enforced here in the United States. You know, and I'm sure that that would be part of sealing all our borders and locking us in within the United States. And, you know, it's really interesting. So what comes to mind on my next question for you is, so what is the real purpose behind all of this? Is this power and control over humanity and the masses? I know that there, you know, more and more people throughout the world are also very much involved and are taking the time to really learn about our extraterrestrial sisters and brothers. So how does this all combine itself into what's happening today?
Well, there are multiple agendas here, Leilani, and really it would take a lot of time to go through all of these agendas. One of the agendas is the centralization of power, that there is a need on for some of those who currently exercise power in terms of the management of a lot of covert operations and the management of the black budget funding, that there is a need to centralize power to be able to keep all of these activities secret from the general public and to keep Congress away from exercising any responsibility over these covert projects and their funding. So there's that agenda. Another is to prevent the development of alternative technologies and new energy sources that would basically enable us to free ourselves from the dependence on fossil fuels. I mean, the barrel of oil is almost $90 now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that there are those that profit from this, and they want to continue to profit from artificially created high oil prices because the alternative technologies are being suppressed. If alternative technologies were not being suppressed, the oil prices would collapse because people would see the future being in these alternative technologies, and the consequence would be a lot of the companies that benefit from the oil industry and control the oil industry would collapse. And so that is another agenda here. And finally, another agenda is to really keep the lid on the extraterrestrial presence. People are becoming more clued into extraterrestrials having been here for at least 50, 60 years, and the government being very secretive about this and not disclosing the truth. So people are starting to wake up and are realizing this. And the internet is a marvelous tool for disseminating this information. And so the internet is really transforming the knowledge base of many people, and in the mainstream too. The internet is replacing the mainstream media services, so more and more people now are looking to the internet and alternative news sites for being informed about what is exactly happening. So this is something that is very disturbing, and so how do you control the internet? How do you control the dissemination of this information that is occurring that may break the lid or break apart the secrecy system? One way of doing that is through a declaration of martial law, where in fact the internet and every other way in which individuals communicate becomes tightly regulated under a centralized communication system. And that is exactly what would happen if a state of catastrophic emergency was declared and Dick Cheney was put in charge.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting because I've had, you know, Dr. Frank Stranges on the show and Steve Bassett and Robert Miles all on the show, and Dr. Boylan, you know, Dr. Boylan shared with us, you know, the four secret governments, and Steve Bassett shared a wealth of information as well. And I know that a lot of you work hand in hand with each other. And, you know, I really commend each of you for your courage, because it does. It takes an extreme amount of courage and dedication to humanity to really inform humanity of what's really going on and to break down the walls of illusion that's so creatively built to hide a lot of these things that are going on. And you're right. The internet has really, really grown, and I'm so grateful that, you know, we have internet radio. We have so much more freedom to bring this information forward and able to reach out worldwide. You know, I know Dr. Boylan shared with us that, you know, our extraterrestrial beings met with Eisenhower and gave him some wonderful, not only technology, but real cures for many, many diseases and viruses here, right here on the planet, because this is not the way we were meant to be on this planet. I know that part of the 9/11 had a lot to do with our new banking system coming in. And so it all comes down to we have a man that has been given power and authority, and he can be a direct threat in so many different ways. He could literally set off a nuclear explosion at any time. As far as we know, it would create a domino effect to create martial law. We'd be in our borders being sealed off. And there's just so many, and you're right, there's so many components to it, but they all play, you know, they all play together. It's like a ripple effect. I know that our extraterrestrials have shared so many wealth of new technology and information for humanity, and for us to be able to receive this information would change our world and the way we live in a blink of an eye. And of course, these individuals would indeed lose that power and authority over us.
And that's
all
right, Leilani.
Greed.
Yes, there are those that want to hold on to that power because it is incredible power to have these advanced technologies, and it gives them power over life and death, and enormous finances are involved in these technologies. And you're quite right. Back in the early 1950s, these technologies that could be used to do amazing things like healing people, freeing us from the dependence on fossil fuels, being able to allow us to communicate with extraterrestrials from different parts of the galaxy. All of these technologies were denied and kept in secret. And what we are witnessing today is what I think is really a kind of last gasp effort to maintain a discredited system that has really been unjust. And I think Dick Cheney really is at the forefront of this effort to maintain an unjust, discredited system. And that's why if we are able to kind of ride this out over the next 15 months while he continues to be vice president, if we're able to ride this out and just kind of shine the light on what he's doing, continue to do our work in informing people and sharing the kind of spiritual information and knowledge and the ET information, that we, I think, will come out okay at the end of this. And we really will move into a new world, a world where these technologies and spiritual knowledge and the information can be shared so that we all become empowered and we live to our fullest potential, and it will be just an incredible world, and it'll be one that'll be a pleasure to live in rather than what Dick Cheney has in mind.
Yes. And, you know, it's really interesting, too, is, you know, a lot of times what I notice is, you know, I'm watching the news and they will announce something that is about to start, you know, that has a direct impact on humanity. And it's really interesting because I had said once to a dear friend of mine, I said, who are they fooling? They've already implemented it. They've implemented it months in advance before it's actually even broadcast on national TV. And so I ask you tonight, Dr. Sala, because this is not just one or two people, not your responsibility or your comrades that work with you, to really bring this powerful information forward for all of us. Because it's all, I feel strongly that it's all of our responsibility collectively, because I do believe that we have the power and the authority if we all stood side by side with each other. So I ask you tonight, what is it that we as the people, we the voice of the people, can do to become more aware, to not necessarily be out there at the level that you're at, but I know that each of us can do a part.
Well, I would say that every listener, if they can look at themselves and just say, well, what can I do as an individual to help inform people about some of the issues that we've been discussing tonight and that you've discussed with your previous guests? And I think it really is helpful if we share this information. For example, this article that's just that just came out. It's on Dick Cheney and Vigilant Shield. That I think you have the link up on your website, or at least they, your listeners can get on my website. If they can go to that article and just spread that on their networks, there's a very simple little thing they can do by just clicking the Dig It, which is a kind of social networking tool that can bring to the general public articles that have significance. And this way you are able to help other people become informed of these things. And I think why I am putting energy into these kinds of incidents is that, one, I think that it's really important that we prevent this kind of terrorist attack turning into a live exercise, and two, I think it can help inform people about the deeper agendas that are being pursued by Dick Cheney and others, who really, I think, are the front people for some very dark entities that want to create chaos so that our world is easy pickings for what I consider to be malevolent forces, beings, a combination of extraterrestrial and humans that really want to, that really thrive on chaos and disharmony. And I think that's what we want to put a stop to. So if your listeners can just put the information out, share it, and just really persuade others about the importance of considering all of this very seriously.
Yes. You know, it's really interesting because I knew that 2 weeks ago that the Westgate was actually compromised. And we worked with the Westgate for a week, making sure that we strengthened that particular area to assist humanity, because I know once the West Gate was compromised, we had a flood of dark entities that came here onto the planet. And so, you know, it's interesting because I have the World Global Healing Circle of the Light, and that is some of the work that we actually do live right here on BBS Radio. And so I want to remind all our listeners is that remember that you are the power and the authority. You have the ability to make a difference worldwide. You can share this wonderful information about Dr. Saul and the work he does with your sisters and brothers. I invite all of you to pay a visit to my show page with BBS Radio. I have all three websites up. And for all the listeners in Pal Talk, I also have Dr. Sala's website listed there as well. I want to remind all our listeners as well is that Dr. Sala has written many, many books on various subjects, and they're just jam-packed with a wealth of information. And you've all heard me say before, knowledge is indeed power. And when I say this, is the more that we absorb knowledge and the understanding of what is indeed going on in our world, we have the power to share that with each other. And don't ever think for a moment that each of you do not have, that you are not making a change in our world, because you are. No matter how big or small, it has exactly the same value to support this planet. And so, Dr. Sala, before we have to say goodnight to you, is there any last-minute words that you'd like to share?
I just want to encourage you and your audience to just keep on putting out this information, discussing these issues, bringing authors forward and researchers forward to share the issues that they've been researching, because I think, as you said, it's really as we become informed about what is happening that we can change the situation, because we do have that power. I agree wholeheartedly with you. We have the power to change things. As long as we're in the dark, well, then we are kind of disempowered and easily manipulated. But when we're informed and we exercise our will and make choices, then we can change the world. So thank you for having me on the show. And any of your listeners want to follow up talk with me about any of these things, I'm quite happy to communicate, and you can just go to my website, exopolitics.org, and find out all of the details and my contact numbers.
Thank you. It's been a real honor and a pleasure to have you on the show, Dr. Sala. I'd love to invite you back to the show, and you've got such wealth of information to share with us. You're always welcome back with us. And remember to always, always stand in your own power, your own authority. Until we connect again, be safe and be well. And God bless you all. Good night. Thank you, Dr. Sala.